This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Economic uncertainty reigns in Europe as Russia again restricts the flow of natural gas. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Moscow-controlled energy giant Gazprom has today reduced how much natural gas it's sending to Germany and other Central European nations through its Nord Stream 1 pipeline. A German gas grid operator said the flow is now about a fifth of the pipeline's overall capacity. Gazprom has justified the cuts by saying another turbine needs maintenance, but the BBC's Jenny Hill in Berlin explains European officials say that excuse is a smokescreen.
The Nord Stream pipeline has a number of turbines. They are regularly sent for routine maintenance. And before the war started, one of those turbines had been sent to Canada for maintenance. It's a Siemens-maintained turbine. It's not yet returned to Russia. Now, that much is true. There is controversy over whether Russia is halting its being re-imported or vice versa, as Russia would have it. Russia's also now saying that a second turbine now needs work. Now, industry insiders say it's complete rubbish. There's no reason that that would lead to any need to reduce the gas supply to Germany and Europe. Here in Berlin, ministers say that this is simply Vladimir Putin playing games and trying to provoke economic and political turmoil within Europe.
And potentially laying the groundwork for cutting even more supplies off from Europe, do you think?
It's what everyone, I think, suspects and, of course, fears. And that's why we've seen in the EU in the last couple of days leaders agreeing to try to conserve gas, to try and cut the amount of gas used by member states by around 15%. Nevertheless, I think, you know, there is no doubt in the minds of the government here in Berlin and in other European capitals that Vladimir Putin is trying to play games and trying to make those capitals very insecure about the coming winter. And that's why we're seeing, you know, Germany scrambling to try and find alternative supplies, because at the moment the gas stores here in Germany are only about 66% full, and they need to be about 80 to 90% full, experts say, as we go into the winter, if Germany's to get through the winter.
And so where is Germany turning for those supplies to fill its stocks?
Lots of different countries. It's trying to bring in liquefied natural gas. So other European countries, one politician has been off to the Middle East to try and strike deals there on energy. It's also looking at renewables, but they're also going back to rely on coal. Now, that's a big deal for the government here, because this coalition government, one of the parties, a Green Party, they're very climate focused, and they had vowed to get out of coal, to withdraw from it, phase it out, and instead they're having to rely on it more heavily than before.
Political and economic chaos. The BBC's Jenny Hill for us in Berlin. Thanks so much for your time.
Always a pleasure.
Well, a reduction in gas supplies will no doubt present problems for households wanting to turn the heat on this winter. And today, an index of German consumer confidence has fallen to its lowest level since 1991. That's thanks to fears that reduced Russian gas deliveries will have a catastrophic impact on the nation's economy, which is already under pressure from effects of Russia's war. It's also a big problem for German industry, which accounts for about a quarter of the country's overall economic output. Achim Bambach is president of the closely followed Zoo Economic Institute in Mannheim, Germany.
Businesses are reducing their production. So the first estimates say that about 11% of gas usage has been reduced by business, by industries. And so they respond to it. They do part of their production in different countries. Part of the products are substituted by foreign products. So we see a lot of substitution going on.
I mean, will business be able to survive this? Because if we're talking about a significant reduction in gas supplies from Russia to Germany and the possibility of it going to zero, how does German industry deal with such a threat?
There's a high uncertainty, and so it all depends how much gas will we get over the winter, how strong will the winter be. So the simulation currently say that even with only 20% of gas coming from Russia, we are not going to see a gas shortage in Germany or, say, in Europe. If it stays like it is, I think the business will cope with it. However, if gas will stop, then we have serious problems. And what Germany is planning at the moment is to do auctions with business, so paying them to get out of business in case of gas shortages. Simulations say we will have a recession by minus 2%, minus 3% of that size.
So you're saying basically that the German government is subsidizing businesses just so that they don't produce as much, just so they don't put more strain on the system.
That's right. The idea is that if we have a serious gas shortage, we will see rationing. And government wants to avoid this rationing by as long as possible. Rationing means that our regulator, the Bundesnetzagentur, will decide who will get the gas. Yeah, households have priority, hospitals have priority, but also business need to get gas. But there's so many mistakes you can do in rationing. And so the government wants to have the market allocation, so market prices being working for as long as possible. And one instrument is that they are paying business to get out of the market. Yeah, so those business who are kind of who have the least cost of getting out of the market, they should get out of the market. Yeah, so that's what the government is doing.
What does that mean long term for the German economy, though? Because industry accounts for such a huge portion of overall economic output. How is this sustainable in the longer run?
Yeah, energy prices will stay high, and government is already implementing LNG terminals so that we get liquid gas. That will increase prices for gas also in the future, not just, you know, this year, but also in the future. So that will be an issue for business. On the other side, you know, Germany has very high wages. We have high energy costs already. And our business, kind of, they are not good because they are cheap. Yeah, they are good because they are producing, you know, good machines, good cars, and so on. So I guess they will cope in some way, but it will be tougher because cheap energy these times are gone.
Achim Wambachs from the Zoo Economic Institute in Mannheim, Germany. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
A quick check of the numbers now. Europe's natural gas benchmark has jumped as much as another 9% today, but in the last hour or so, it's fallen back slightly. Stock benchmarks across Europe are up in the 0.1% to 0.4% range, at once buoyed by upbeat earnings results, but hindered by the ongoing energy supply issues across the region. Russia's Ukraine war hasn't just affected energy supplies. It's also caused global food shortages. Countries that rely on grain imports had been hoping for a bumper global crop so that prices might fall from their recent record highs. But drought and heat waves have damaged the harvest in many places, except in Russia. The BBC's Stephanie Haggerty has more on that story.
Là, y a des grains. Là, y a pas de grains.
On his farm, 3 hours southeast of Paris, Sébastien Neveu is worried. Marching through a wheat field, he stops to pull two stalks up from the ground. One is long and golden, and the other stunted and black.
I'll have lost 40% of this field because of the drought and the intense heat. And the grain that I will get won't have the right quality for milling. It'll have to go to cow or chicken feed, but it won't work as flour.
Here in France, the weather has been really unpredictable for wheat in the past few years. And this unpredictable weather is playing out in wheat-producing regions all over the world.
In the EU, the wheat crop could be 4.7 million tonnes lower than last year. And in the US, another major exporter, drought in spring could mean a 7 to 8% reduction in yields on the five-year average.
But there is one place where the wheat crop seems to be doing really well.
Russia is the world's largest wheat exporter and could see a bumper crop this year after good weather. But that might not help the rest of the world. Elena Naroba is a grains analyst from Ukraine with the trading firm MaxiGrain.
Really, big companies avoid to trade to Russia because it's a huge risk. It's not just a risk of price, it's a risk of reputation.
The invasion of Ukraine exposed just how vulnerable our global food system is to shocks. And the greatest and most long-lasting of these will be climate change.
C'est la résilience, c'est extraordinaire.
Farmers like Sébastien Neveu have no choice but to adapt.
Voilà. C'est triste, mais c'est l'espoir.
I'm the BBC's Stephanie Hegarty for Marketplace.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.